Hey guys, welcome to Years Between with me, Loretta Maria.
And me, Cynthia Jerry.
This is a podcast
where we talk about our thoughts, feelings, and experiences in the years in between.
How have you all been?
Good. We love to hear that.
If you haven't been good, you know, tomorrow's a new day, the sun will come up, you can go again.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen.
How are you, my lovely?
That wasn't staged, guys.
By the way, her lashes.
Yeah, J Lashes London. Check her out, guys. See, maintenance.
Pretty model, though.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, guys, before we start filming, she was sniffing me. She was sniffing
actually,
me like a dog.
Before we started filming, we were getting onto each other.
Yeah, we were.
We're not going to say that, but we were getting onto each other.
What would you call it? Trolling, that's what
trolling
you
mean. Trolling each other. We like that. It's balance in a relationship. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Balance.
It's a bit of tongue-in-cheek, Danielle.
Balance.
Balance.
What did you say? Chronic is not balance.
Like, why did you... You retract it, you crit.
Because you go, chronic. I can't even do it.
Chronic.
I can't do it. But, yeah, I was going to say, oh, maintenance is not done. Like, I know some girls hate that, but it's cool.
What do you mean?
Some girls are like, I can't be with a girl. She's not walking around maintenance.
Oh, but you always have your nails done. So, like, lashes. I feel like lashes obviously is part of maintenance, but it's not like it has to be.
Yeah.
Like, out of the main ones, I'd imagine it to be, like, nails.
What is has to be maintenance?
Nails, eyebrows, I know, waxing, shaving, whatever it is that you do. And then, I guess hair would help.
Yeah, hair definitely would help.
Yeah. But you can have your natural hair and then get your brows done,
your lashes,
nails done, toes, lashes.
Facials,
wax.
I need to upscale my maintenance regime.
What in what way?
Because I only do my nails and my hair.
Your toes?
No, I do my... When I say nails, my toes.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, when you said you only do your nails, I was thinking, like, you meant, like, you only do your fingernails
I do my hands and my feet.
Yeah.
And, my hair here and there. Mm. However, it's mostly me doing my own hair. Mm. My lashes. I haven't done my lashes since April. I've been doing them for events now, and so
it's
like
a bit
making
of a,
it my
like you're part of like regular.
Yeah.
But lashes, I do love me some lashes. But it's also like it's a bit rich because I'm the same does apply to nails too. But like, I don't want to get too much in a habit where it's like I'm so used to myself and my face.
Yeah.
With lashes, that like when I take them off, I'm like, I can't stand.
That's like with wigs as well. But that, yeah, I'll say that it is similar to doing your nails, but it's different as well because this is your face. Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting used to it, an extra
thing on your face
thing
that
on your
doesn't
face.
Occur naturally, like, to that extent, anyway.
Yeah. But
My lashes actually grew quite a bit. She's like, your lashes
your
are
lashes
so long,
are
I
can
tell. Which was...
Oh, period.
I was like...
Yeah, your lashes were so long. I won't even lie.
Shout out The Beauty Parlor by Kimberly Graham.
Shout them out, guys.
Yeah.
Shout them out. Show the girlies some love because they're killing that out here in these streets.
We love you. Keep us looking good.
Thank you, Mom.
What do you guys think, maintenance? What do you guys consider as, like, this is part of, like, standard, regular maintenance?
Yeah.
Like bi-weekly, bi-monthly, whatever it is, your threshold.
Would you
is.
Pay $1,000 for maintenance?
Okay.
Do you want to repeat?
What business?
Apparently, there are some girlies out there that are paying £1,000 for maintenance.
Is that purely like physical, like anatomical maintenance?
I think.
Or is it like buying a bag and going for like a class?
Beauty.
$1,000.
Hair, nails, lashes. I guess you can
like at most you could push it to like 400.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah, I know, it's absolutely crazy.
But I guess if it's wigs, I'm not part of the wig life, so maybe is it the quality of hair that you're getting that's causing it to be that expensive?
Yeah. I mean, that would add, that makes sense, to be honest. That does make sense.
But if you weren't doing like wig life and say, I don't know, you're doing a silk pressy or like getting braids. You're forcing the $1,000. That must be you go on a spa for 3 weeks on top of all the maintenance.
And then you do fillers, facials, and that every single... I don't know. I really want to get a facial done, though.
I was about to say fillers.
filler. I did used to want to get my lips done, but I like my lips now. Why are you short?
Yeah, because I'm like, obviously, me saying, oh, you know, someone says they want to do something, like, oh, you don't need it, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's your face. It's how you feel about it, so. But I'm shocked.
Come on, mate.
Glad, you know.
I've been embracing my natural self, and I think stripping, like, forcing myself to do that has been great.
You know, if you want to get filler and do that for yourself.
Then that's also good.
Yeah, it's also good. I guess it's all about a thing of, like, loving yourself.
Yeah, just don't feed into your insecurities, guys.
Yeah.
Because if, yeah.
Yeah. Do it because, it, like, you feel confident in yourself and you're like, this could enhance it a bit and make me just feel, you know?
Mm.
But, like,
not because,
don't do it
like,
and be like, oh, I hope I will actually start liking myself if I do this.
Yeah.
Because that's a vicious cycle because you're moving to the next insecurity.
And I hope that you get comforted by this, but God made you so perfectly. So, yeah.
You're perfect. Just the way you are.
We ain't Bruno.
You like my singing, guys?
We do.
Thanks.
But yeah, this week has been.
What song is this to?
I'm trying to remember the week. There's no song to.
When you did that, it reminded me of a song that I thought about. I told my sister I came home singing. And
oh, again, another one. What song is this?
It was Cora de Bello. From the first time that I set my eyes on you, the girl stuck on you. Come on, we have
to. Did you walk to that this week?
You know what I come for you. Oh, no, when I got off the bus stop, I walked. It's because I saw a TikTok when someone, a girl was like, when the guy you're talking to, or the guy you're feeling, like asking about songs, like wedding songs, and then he puts this banger on. And I just said,
oh, don't get me started about weddings. Don't get me started.
What, are you getting married?
God willing, soon, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to get some wedding food.
Do you think you'll be eating on that day? You will have a breakfast with the rest of us, and you're not going to eat, because I know you'll be on your feet. We're all going to be on our feet.
I can walk and eat.
The bridal party. When are we going to eat?
But there's a will, there's a way. Just because we'll be done. Amen.
When are we going to eat? Because if I'm not eating, best believe you guys are not eating.
It's your wedding. Like, obviously, I would, like, try to feed you, because, you know... I don't want you to go starving or faint, get like a headache or migraine, like, God forbid.
God forbid.
But I will, you know, we'll make it work. She's going to have a plethora of people in the bridal party. There'll be enough
hands. I only
have
10.
Only?
Yes. And that's largely family.
Wait, you're distracting.
How am I distracting you? Yeah.
I can think of 5 people. Family.
Oh, the other 5. Okay, friends. So it's a...
Yeah, I was thinking... I'm getting short on who in the family I can add. But yeah, carry on your week.
Oh, yeah, my week's been... I can't wait to do my hair. Oh, my gosh. My week's been good. The weekend was really good. Like, I went to church on both days, yes. I went to church on both days, amen. One was a conference and it was really good. It really spoke into like womanhood, and not just womanhood in terms of like identifying yourself as a wife or mother, but also womanhood in like being independent and strong and like knowing the will that God has for your life. And
amen.
Yeah, being disciplined in that. I guess because women can easily be like, oh, get complacent in life and just be a wife or mother.
Okay.
And not really have their own, like...
I guess caught up in...
Yeah, caught up in other female responsibilities. Mm. But yeah, that was good. And church on Sunday, which was good. And the word was about, like, consecration and worshipping God with your heart.
That's sweet.
I guess, yeah. Sweet. And what about you?
Guys, I went to Flatiron for the first time.
Oh wait, I can't believe it was your first time.
Yeah, like, you know what it was? I feel like I'd heard about Flatiron and the whole thing of the popcorn, like, over the years, like, scattered. But, like...
It's scattered?
As in, like, I'd heard about the popcorn scattered.
Oh, I thought you meant they were scattering the popcorn. I was like, I had to write an email to Flatiron.
No. I've just seen, like, different videos, people vlogging, like, over the years. And it's just sort of... It's never really been something that I'd like, gosh, I want to go. And then I met one of my besties. last week, and the last time I met up with them, it was like, oh, should we go Box Park or should we go fly? And we went Box Park instead. So this time when it came around, I was like, oh, should we go fly? And they've been a few times, and they were like, yeah. Initially, I was like, oh, if it's been like your sixth, seventh time, or like if you've been there too many times. But they were like, oh, no.
You can never get tired of flying, I won't lie.
I went the steak. I'm not crazy about steak, but that steak. No, that was Friday.
Friday.
That steak was
good.
TT, guys. Yeah. The popcorn, everything. The popcorn was good. The steak was good.
The popcorn was amazing. The mac and cheese,
the chips, the mash, the drink that I had, everything was just making the popcorn, ice cream.
Yeah. The popcorn, to me, is better than ice cream. I look forward to the popcorn and ice cream. Like, I always finish the popcorn. I asked for, like, 3 portions.
I loved every bit, like, every individual thing. Like, I could have eaten it separately in, like, copious amounts and been fine. Like, yeah. It was so good.
Is really good. I wouldn't mind, like, going there for a date, you know?
Yeah. It would actually be a good vibe, I think.
Yeah. And, like, cozy, dim lighting, yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing, like, the music sometimes makes it just like, sorry, what?
What did you say? Yeah.
Yeah. But when I was with my bestie, when like we didn't book it in advance, it was sort of like a...
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have a slack off.
Oh. You ill?
I've gone better. Last week I was ill.
Oh, hopefully. Thank God you're getting better. Anyway. But my friend and I, we didn't make a booking beforehand. Obviously this is a Friday, so I guess it's a bit more busier, I don't know. But we walked in, we got a table for, well, she walked in because she got there before me, but we were fine. We were kikiing. It's been a while since we've seen each other, you know, catching up, you know, chopping it up, talking about everything. Obviously we eat all the food, da da da. And then we're fully like, I'm showing her something on Pinterest. And then the woman comes and gives us the card machine, the bill.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, okay, guys, we need the things back. I was like,
the table back.
Yeah, I was just like, no, she didn't even, she gave the receipt and then she came like with the card machine at the same time.
Oh.
So, I was literally like holding back from laughing because it's so funny because I was actually mid-sentence showing her a picture. And then she comes and she's like, card machine.
Yeah, gotta go.
I was just like, oh, we've stayed our welcome. Sorry. We gotta go. And then we paid, obviously got the ice cream, but then we like went our separate ways. But yeah, Flatiron.
I recommend Flatiron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good. It's all good. And yeah, the rest of the week, I feel like nothing much has really happened to me there. Just working, walking, working.
2 W's.
Yeah. Should we get to the book?
Yeah, guys. So as you guys know, we've been reading the book Stay With Me by
Aya Rami Adebayo.
And now we have come to the end of the book.
I'm actually quite, like, I'm sad, but, like, content.
I'm content.
Why? Did you not like the book?
No, I really enjoyed the book. I really, really did enjoy the book. But I was so, like, waiting to know what...
outcome.
Yeah, what was the outcome? Like, how did it... How did it end? I know. It's only because I felt so deeply for Yejide, and also...
Yejide.
I felt so deeply for her, and I just wanted her to, like, have a sort of happy ending.
But should we get into it before?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's neither happy nor... Oh, we'll get into it. But yeah. What would you rate it, sorry?
Rate it? Mm-hmm. I would definitely say... okay, I don't want to be too, like, generous, because... I've just, like, this year has pushed me in, you know, my book reading journey. I did used to read books when I was younger, so I've now revisited it at the age of 24, so do you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to be, you know?
Mm.
So we gave, let's backtrack. We gave
Yinka,
Where's Your Husband, a
8 or 8.5, I can't remember.
8 or 8.5. We gave For Such a Time as This. I gave that a...
No, I think it was an 8.
8.
But then we switched it because I think we said either Yinka was a bit more oomph than For Such a Time as This.
I know, so I Yinka was 8.5
and then For Such a Time was 8. But maybe you...
Yeah, I think I gave For Such a Time as This as 8.5. I think I really enjoyed the stories that interlinked with each other.
Mm.
But Stay With Me, I actually am going to give Stay With Me a 9.
Oh, I'm... I don't want to give it a 10 because I feel like I haven't, but 9.5. Okay, then 9. Okay. 9.5, yeah. For me, right, the way Stay With Me had me in a grip and had my jaw dropping.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely grips your heart. It catches your attention. Like, you can't be
a fictional book.
Yeah, it does really well.
I think it has really some. Yeah. Miss Adebayo.
Yeah.
You did your one on this. Like I said, I think it should be a book that's studied in like A-level English lit. There are a lot of themes that exist throughout the book that could be explored and delved into from like an
English literature level. English lit, is that during sixth form?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
But you also do it in a GCSE.
Maybe not GCSE, but for sixth form, it's fitting.
Like, yeah, because it's like you're 17, 18.
Yeah.
And like some of the themes in it are a bit like... Yeah, so...
I feel like that's like AQA, the pivotal moment for self-discovery as well.
Yeah. AQA, OCR.
OCR?
Get on that.
Yeah, definitely.
That book, okay, let's get into it.
Let's leave Inspector Calls behind.
That's GCSE.
Oh, GCSE. What was English yet?
It would have been Othello or... Oh my gosh, I've forgotten. Othello, A Doll's House, and something else, can't remember.
Oh, I didn't do English lit.
I love but English lit, though. Has my heart. Anyway, let's talk about the book. Oh, what happened in this last section?
In this last section,
the resentment is clearly there. Yejide is obviously, like we mentioned in last week's episode, not with Akin. She's handing over Ritimi at every opportunity that she can. Yeah. She's not trying to, you know. And then
because of the failing of the relationship, but also because she doesn't want to gain attachment to her daughter.
A lot of this, other than like the latter chapters, was written from Akin's perspective, I feel. And he was talking about how, oh, maybe, you know, this is actually his fault. It's like, I guess he's somewhat having like a moment of being like,
reflection. Okay,
yeah, like reflection, exactly.
Yeah, because he even says that he misses his brother.
Yeah, but when I found out when reading and I actually read the part of how obviously he's known his whole life that he can't conceive.
His whole life. I can't imagine I don't even want to, even though I'm not a man, but I don't know how.
Because even Dutom, when they live together, trying to...
How would you even process that? Like, something that's meant to happen naturally doesn't happen at all.
I think that's a lot of processing that needs to go on.
For life.
I guess the part that biologically makes you, like, male or female.
Yeah.
And then that part not working how it's meant to.
And discovering that at the young, tender age.
Yeah, and how we were talking about at uni, how Dutom, because they live together... towards the latter stages of his uni experience, how Dutom was having all these people come to their house to, you know, do what they do. And then he was just there, like... And it also reflects, you know, when they spoke about how he knew that Yejide was a virgin.
Oh.
So it was like he knew that he could get away
with
lying to her and her not knowing any different. So, conspiracy scheming, yes.
That's such a deception. That's deceiving. So I'm now just thinking, like, okay, is Akin a victim to his situation?
100%. I think he is a victim, but he shouldn't have then made other people victims of his situation. He should have been open, he should have been honest.
Very open and honest. However, considering the time that this was set in, and then the understanding that, you know, they had back in the day about infertility.
Again, this is like this, 70s, 80s, 60s, around that time frame.
Would that have gone down for him? No, would that have gone well for him socially?
Yeah, no, not at all, I don't think.
Even with his, like, mother's and his... his mother and his father by his side, like...
But the thing is, they don't, even the fact that like, he was saying the mum's literally getting him another wife.
Yeah, so they don't know. His mother and his father, they don't know, right? But why didn't he just tell them? Why didn't he just tell his mother? I think, like, his mother, Mummy, would react in a way like, oh, this is spiritual, this is...
But then he would... The thing is, again, he's selfish because he would get put through what Yejide got put through, like, all the ritualistic...
Exactly. And it's like, did you not feel any sort of... Well, he did. He felt bad, didn't he? I don't remember. When she was doing that, did he feel bad? Or did he not know?
I think he knew. I think he was like, oh, she's gone with Mummy to do da 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 da. So I think it was just sort of...
But he accepted that, holding, that as her fate. Holding the guilt. Crazy. Like, but then did he really love her?
I guess from the lens of he was willing to let his brother lay with his wife to give her the child that he wanted. Well, so that she they
can,
wanted.
So she can... stop being miserable in life.
That's what I think, because literally when he was talking about it, he did say, oh, with the whole like psychosis and pseudocyosis that she was dealing with when she wanted that child so badly, he literally then said that he came to terms and was like, okay, Rumbi's like, I have to get her pregnant, like, okay, I have to talk to Dutton. Like
at that moment in time, he should have just been like, I should just tell my wife.
Don't get me wrong. I completely agree with, he should have come forward. He should have,
just trying to like, they should have thought process in this.
Gone to like the, all the times that he went to Lagos, he was going to these like clinic, his clinics.
Yeah.
Like the
urologist, but he was also going on his ritual things.
Yeah.
So it's like,
just be open, I guess, you know, communication, CC.
Communication and consideration. Mm. Obviously didn't consider his partner in...
something that would have... that's going to affect... that affected both of them and ultimately caused the breakdown of their marriage.
Because think about how much this could have been a building of their,
100%. Their
relationship. And how different it could have been. And how much they could have... like...
And it's the fact that... isn't now he's stuffed up and all this stuff has gone wrong. He's now he's deciding to call her and tell him, oh, by the way, I'm in Lagos for these appointments. Oh, by like now he wants to fill her in and all this stuff. Now he's like, okay, now I feel I can finally tell her.
Yeah.
What do you mean only now? After that part really like, it really made me feel for Yejide, because all you had to do, like, obviously it's not all you had to do, because obviously it's a very vulnerable thing to come out and say this, especially to your wife, and like you said, the time frame in society. But at the end of the day, that's your wife, that's your life partner. You want to have kids together, so...
it's just quite unsettling how Yejide was receiving the repercussions of his infertility. As much as I have empathy and like I'm like saddened to hear that that was his like or that is his situation, but it's also like it's you were selfish from the very beginning. You were selfish. Like you could have told her from the very beginning and things could have been different. I know like that's not what the book is about, understandable, but if we're talking about this topic, this situation,
mm-hmm.
If we're talking about if there was a real life Akin and Yejide, hopefully it would be communicated.
I feel the fact that you mentioned him being selfish, that's so, so true.
From the very beginning.
And like, it's the fact that he's got caught is the only reason why he's now suddenly like, okay, I'll have to offload. Because if Dutton didn't relay that information to Yejide, he would have happily kept the whole guise of, oh, because it's like also morally for Yejide having an affair with Akin's brother Dutton and then having her bear that weight of feeling like she's committing adultery, which she is, even if he did know he didn't, it's still adultery no matter how you look at it. But you schemed for that to happen. You were selfish enough to make it seem like, first of all, she knew, pressure your brother into doing this and hide the fact that you can't conceive from your wife, and tell your wife that this is how it should be, tell your wife that sometimes that's just how it is for some people, when in reality you knew all along that that wasn't the case. And you let her bear that on her own.
As well as the fact that she struggles with loneliness and that she's always lived a life like wondering what it'd be like to have a mother or not being loved by her father's wives. And just feeling, siblings, like just feeling alone. And in that, he took that to an advantage because he's probably thinking, you know, all she really has is me.
Oh, 100%.
So
he can then drag it out and flip in.
As long as that. And even if it's just us two, again, all she really has is me.
Moving on towards the end of the book when she goes away with, I think it's Ayaboli.
Yeah.
And Akins with Rotimi in Lagos.
Yeah.
Because he's got another one of his appointments.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to call her the whole time. Ejide had it all planned, essentially. It was giving the vibe that she didn't want to come back.
Yeah. Where did they even go?
Her and...
Yeah.
To Ayaboli's family.
Okay.
Somewhere. And he dropped her off at the bus station. And she even said when he checked the car, like the coach... Back in, she was like, when I was naive, I would have thought something special about like, how caring. But now she's just there like, okay, I don't know why you're checking it.
She's gotten to a point of disdain for him.
I think it's beyond that at this point.
Can you get beyond disdain?
Yeah, like, she, like, if it wasn't for the fact that Rotimi was in the picture, she would just put him out of her life, like. Do you know what I mean?
I think if the goal wasn't to have kids, his secret would have gone unknown.
100%.
Yeah. But okay. So that happens, and then we are confronted with a situation that's kind of similar to what's gone on in the past.
Yeah.
Like their child, so Rotimi in this case, is now presented with some symptoms that are aligning with, you know.
At this point, they know that she's a sickle cell.
Yeah, they do know.
Yeah.
But she had fever and she became unconscious.
Oh, yes. This so obviously, was, yeah.
Parents that have lost children, I could imagine they're thinking, same thing happening again. So immediately...
And she wasn't waking up, was
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she wasn't. Immediately, Yechide was like... yeah, that's it.
Got the camera. Because Figgy was calling, Akin called her.
Yeah, she was like...
And then Akin was like, "What? Did they tell you anything in the hospital? Is there anything
yeah.
that they told you that we could do?" And she was just like, "No, like..."
She was like, "I'm not coming back."
Yeah, she said, I'm leaving you.
Yeah, I'm not coming back.
It's she's finished.
Thinking, yeah, she's like, you know, like, we've gone through this so many times. I would have thought I would have dealt this better. I'm not going back there, but facing with that again. And I was thinking in that moment, I was reading it, she was... normally the one that was there when the child was like near like end right and it was always her. Well, it wasn't always her because the second time the doctor told Akin that, you know, their son passed away, but like initially it's always just been her, and then she would relay the story to Akin,
right
so now it's like reversed. She's probably thinking like, well, good. Like, I gave it, like, I've been giving it to you so you can have the attachment, so you can also be broken like I am.
Right.
God forbid, no, not me. But,
Experience the heartbreak.
Yeah, experience the heartbreak. And then
obviously, he's also experienced heartbreak, but to be live over there.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
I guess I can imagine how different it might be. So I think in that, it was sort of like her kind of payback and then leaving him, like, saying, I'm not coming back. Leaving, like, I think she was trying to make him feel lonely, the loneliness that she has felt with the past two that's happened, if you know what I'm trying to...
No, exactly. Yeah, like, I feel like it's quite important, like, the fact that you touched on the loneliness, because in that moment, she's always felt, like, again, because she always talks about when she has a kid, that the kid can't leave her because you can't get rid of your mum. Your mum's your mum.
Yeah.
So, in the payback in him having to experience that, and then when she was talking about it in the moment, saying she always felt, like how we mentioned in the past episode, she was sort of detached from Ritimi because she was almost preparing herself for this moment.
Yeah.
But she said that she still felt the pain.
The pain.
But then she did. She had a realization that even despite the fact that she had lost her two other kids and she was now experiencing this moment with Ritimi, they were still hers.
Yeah.
She had, I guess, a moment of peace, but pain, but peace. It was quite sad, I guess cathartic in a way, but, you know, it served its purpose in letting her know that even though she may have lost children, she still had memories with them that she would hold on forever.
Mm-hmm. And I think she was kind of, like, upset that she didn't have those memories with Ritimi.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Because she was, like, she was almost like, oh, she was a fool to even think that by trying to keep Ritimi at arm's length, she wouldn't form attachment. At the end of the day, she carried that child for 9 months.
Yeah.
But then we find out.
So we go back to the beginning. So, okay. We
flash back again.
Yeah, we flash back to the beginning of the book where. But no.
It wasn't the beginning.
No, because the beginning was I'm holding.
She's moving out of somewhere.
Yeah. Oh.
No, we flash back because remember it was kept flashing back from mentioning the invite.
Okay.
So now we're going back to the invite of when Akin's dad has passed and it's like a funeral.
So we now are at the scene of the funeral and she. She's there looking at him from afar.
Did she say that he looked good? I think she did.
No.
Oh, she didn't. Never mind.
She said she knew his behaviours. Like, she was like, your hat would have been off by now because you would have been hot.
Ah,
yeah. So she was looking for his head. And she located his head.
Mm.
But he was looking for somebody else. And my thing was like, because I think in this time, I think she mentioned 5 years had passed, right?
Mm.
Or years had passed. So I thought, he moved on. He done moved on.
Mm. And there were so many people at this event, the way you describe it.
It was a lot of people. And she was on tables with strangers because they didn't know who she was.
And they were talking about her. And they said something about, the reason why the brothers no longer get along is because of Akin's ex-wife.
Yeah.
And she was there like, wow, so that's the story that they got told.
Yeah. Great. So it's like, again, strangers, heavy on strangers. So I guess she was like easily like blended in. And then, yeah, she located Akin, and I think she went to go find him.
No, she just walks towards him.
She walks towards him, but why?
Because he was there on this, she was like, I guess she just wanted to...
Say hi, but she was nervous in coming.
She wanted to, show face, give condolences, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so she goes to talk to him, she finds him at the bar, and as she finds him at the bar, she also sees that he's with a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, he's done and married the teenage girl that the mum wanted to pair him up with.
You know, I didn't even think that. I was like, I knew straight from the jump who that was. Yeah.
And then, Chide is like, she looks like me, but she's got his nose. And I'm like,
and she starts having all these thoughts, but wait. And then the name gets called. I think it's like Timmy.
Yeah, Timmy.
And then she was like, is that Ritimi? And then Aki's like looking at her.
And they're all, you know, you can imagine a movie scene where everyone's just like blinking at each other, blinking.
And then Akin's like, let's step outside
and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I guess it was really sweet that Ritimi longed for this moment and there wasn't any sort of like feelings of betrayal or anger. It was kind of like, I waited for this moment and it's here now, so I'm going to embrace you.
Do you know what was so cute when she said mommy?
Yeah.
And then she was like, Akin's mum's here. And then Ritimi was like, no, you, like, I've reserved that name for you, I've always wanted to call you. And then she
it was like a moment for, it's like a restoration moment for Yechide. Like, she had lost her mum and Ritimi lived without her mum for a long period of her life
because if you haven't noticed, like, Yechide thought she was dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So she went away.
You know, that's why she literally.
She was like, I can't do this anymore. Ritimi lived a portion of her life without her mother, which is, you know, it reflects Yechide's story a little bit. Because, you know, it's the other way around. Her mum died.
Yeah.
It was a moment of restoration.
For sure. And even she asks Akin, like, does she know, obviously, all the politics? But Akin was like, no. Sorry, but the cheek of Akin.
Did he nod?
No, she doesn't. As in, about Dutton being hurt. About that, she was like, no. But the cheek of Akin, sorry, audacious, like, cool times pass. But my guy really thought that they wouldn't have happily ever after. He thought after all of this, just because small time has passed, obviously Ijide is ecstatic to see her daughter, like, oh my gosh, you're here, you didn't pass away. Akin's there thinking, oh, we could play happy family. You can move in. Like, he was like, oh, she's so beautiful. She's even more beautiful than I remember. Yeah, she is. Facts. But you think all of your... When I read that, I was just... You know, I wanted to dash. Like, I actually wanted to throw my phone and just be like... You know, the book really made me like... Oh. When I read that, I was like, why? Like, cool, I get that you've grown and time has passed and... Unless you're, you'd have to do a lot.
Forgiving needs to be had between them both.
But do you remember when he was like, she was like, oh yeah, she can stay over, like she can come to my hotel because yeah. Akin thought that yesterday was going to go stay with them.
Yeah.
You had her all the way messed up. Like, did you really think after all you did, she could like waltz in and you could be like, Again, it shows a bit of his selfish nature because I don't think he really understands the magnitude of suffering and pain and turmoil he put. He's just as bad, worse than the other sister wives and siblings who neglected her. You placed yourself in her life and you did that. But yeah, it ended happily because Ijide got to be with her daughter and they're trying to build that relationship.
Yeah, I'm glad that there was restoration there.
I feel bad for her because she said all these first days that she missed out on because she thought that her daughter wasn't alive. But she's, 15? She's still, like, somewhat young, so I feel like it would hurt more if she'd been married, had kids, and that one would have...
Yeah.
Imagine she chose not to come. And they talked about how many times they've wanted to reach out because it was by chance they found out her location.
Yeah.
Because Ratimi's friend must have gone somewhere and then I guess they...
It was Aya Bolu's daughter, Bolu. Mm. I guess Aya means mother of Bolu.
Oh.
Because they call Akin... Oh, I don't know, because didn't they call Akin... Aya Ratimi. They say something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, oh, that's a bit rude that they're calling you and your daughter's dead.
Oh, yes.
So I think Aya must mean parent of... So Bolu is Ratimi's friend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So Bolu's a little bit older than Ratimi. Then Bolu was like falling on the floor.
Yeah, and she was the one he discovered where...
Her mother lived.
And from that point, it was quite a while ago, and they were trying to, like, they kept writing letters. Akin, they even bought plane tickets and just didn't show up. It was a whole thing built up to this moment. But I'm happy that Ijide came.
I'm happy that Ratimi was like, can you write my mum?
Valid.
But yeah, guys, we come to the end of Stay With Me.
If you haven't already, get on that. I even told my bestie, I told my friend to read it. She bought the book there and then. Guys,
it takes you through your journey. It does take you through your journey.
For sure.
But yeah, we hope that you've enjoyed this episode, guys. We'll be back next week.
And if you're feeling the vibe, don't forget to rate us.
Five spackaroos,
guys.
Don't forget to like, comment, and share our podcast.
And subscribe.
Like, comment, and share.
You know my ears, like, when it's like, because obviously you don't watch YouTube like that. Mm. It's like, share, comment, and subscribe. Oh. So when you flip it around, I'm like... But, you know.
Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe, girlies, guys, aunties, uncles, madams.
We love you all. And, yeah, guys, we'll see you
in the next episode. Stay blessed. In the time in between.
And, you know, have a good day. See you next time, guys. Bye.